Welcome. The weeks are going by very quickly, and I know most of us are looking towards Christmas already. It's really amazing how quickly time just seems to go by. Weeks slip away. Sometimes I wish it would slow down. Today, I would like to revisit a very important truth from the Word of God. And a truth that seems somehow very difficult for us, the body of Christ, much less the world, very difficult to be established in. Or when I say established in, I mean it's a truth that we need to live in. And there are some truths in God's Word that are like big, how could you say, big signposts, things that are very important, and this is one of them. And I'm referring this morning to staying in the rest or living in the rest. This is a place that seems to be so foreign to most of us and even the body of Christ, much less the world, that there are very few of us really enjoying the rest. You know, and we know that the rest is a place where everything is provided for us without us earning it or even deserving it. Amen. And a picture of that, of course, we see in the Old Testament where God was going to bring them into a land, the children of Israel, a land that they would be provided for, that they would be living in homes they didn't build and drinking water from wells they didn't dig and eating food from plants they did not plant. And so you can see from this analogy that it is surely a land or a place where God has made complete provision for his people. That is the land of rest, where it is no more up to you and I to try to fend for ourselves, try to make it. And there is very few I see in the body of Christ that have really camped in this place. You know, we have bits and pieces of it, but God wants us at this hour to learn and to understand that this is where he's always wanted us to be. And this is where he can flow in our own lives, is when we're in that rest. And if there ever was a time in all of history for the body of Christ to really be serious about this and to finally settle into this place, it is now. You know, I remember there was a song I used to sing years ago when I was still a part of the church that I used to go to. And it's funny because as I was pondering these words this week, this song came back to me. And it was called "Let God Be God." Let God Be God. And you know, most of us in our lives, we're not letting God be God, because God can only be God when we're in that place of provision, of rest. You know, let God be God. Let him show us who he is. You know, we want God to manifest himself. And he wants to manifest himself. But this is the place that he manifests himself. And so that song was going around in my head. And if I'd had the soundtrack and all the equipment, I would have probably done it for us this morning. But it's been many years since I sang that song. So let's let God be God and let him show us in reality who he really is. Now this morning I want us to open up our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And I want to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now I've taught on these passages of scriptures many times. And possibly some of the things I'm going to say this morning we've already heard, and maybe we are cognizant of these things, but maybe not. But it says in verse 1, let's begin, "Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon thee, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles will come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Now you're probably wondering, what has this got to do with staying in the rest? God shine. The glory for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. What has this got to do with us and remaining in the rest or living out of the rest? Well, it has everything to do with it. Everything. In the very beginning, when God first created Adam and Eve, he created them. Then he blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and have dominion over all the work of my hands. Now, if you think about that, that's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where God blesses man after he creates Adam and Eve. He places him in the earth, in the garden that he had prepared ahead of time for him. And he says, now you be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over all of the work of my hands. Then in another passage of scripture, sometimes we don't maybe fully understand, because it's interesting how the Bible will say one thing and then it'll give us more of a further explanation of that same thing in another passage. Psalm chapter 8 says this in another passage concerning the same thing. It says in verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars that you have ordained. In other words, when I consider by looking around and see the grandeur, the excellency, the amazingness of everything you've created around me, because everything we see in this world was created by God. Then it goes on to say in verse 4, you know, concerning this majestic God, most awesome God that we can't even fathom, it says, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels. Now, the word angels there is not angels that we think of with wings. Okay? The word angels there is the Hebrew word Elohim. Now, Elohim is another word for God. Now, they translated it angels. Okay? God has made man a little lower than God himself. The word is Elohim. So we were created a little lower than God himself. And God has crowned his man with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over all the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Okay, so that's another, that's only reaffirming what God did in the beginning with Adam. What is man that you are mindful of him? That you crowned him with glory and honor and gave him dominion and power and authority over all the work of your hand. So now let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, where it says, God blessed the man, saying, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion over it, and subdue it. God's blessing, or his words of blessing over man, was God's crown of glory. He has crowned man with glory and honor, it says in Psalm 8. So the words of God's mouth, the blessing, the Bible calls it, is also the glory that surrounded man. The blessing surrounded man. Man was crowned with this glory. And we know that God's word spoken, the blessing or the glory, was Jesus, because Jesus is the Word. So let's see it as it is. God created man, and he spoke the glory over him. He spoke the words of blessing. And we know that all the words of God are Christ. Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And so we can look at it this way, that man was created and surrounded by Christ himself. Man was created, and this glory that surrounded man was the power and the dominion over all the works of his hands. So I want us to see this morning from this analogy that God had created Adam and Eve to live in his glory, or to live surrounded with Jesus. Now, the word crowned in the Bible means to encircle or encompass for attack or for protection. So we were surrounded, God created us surrounded with this glory for protection, for power, dominion. This is the place where God designed you and I and all mankind to live. A place of completeness and peace. In that place, man, Adam had no stress. He had no fear, no anxiety. There was no lack of anything. It was a position and a place of authority and dominion. And you know full well that when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the glory that surrounded them, who I believe is a picture and a type and a shadow of Jesus, that glory, God's protection, God's power and dominion, God's goodness, his love, it was all in that glory. What happened? It immediately departed. Immediately. They had made a choice to live independent of God and his glory. They had rejected the provision God had put on them, the blessing that God had pronounced over their lives. His love, his power, his goodness, his glory. Now, I used this analogy the other night at our Bible study in order for us to really understand what I'm trying to say here this morning, and it's this. God created man, first of all, to live in this glory. I also said God created fish to live in water. Now, if the fish rejects the water and decides to jump up on the land and try to make a go of it on there, you know that he's surely going to die. Why? Because God designed him. Everything about the form and everything that pertains to the fish was designed by God himself to live and be complete and fulfilled in the water. Now, on the other hand, God designed you and I and all mankind to live under his glory. Now, if we decide to jump out from that and say, nope, I reject that, I'm going to make it on my own, you will surely die. And that's what God meant when he said, if you eat from that tree, you are choosing to live independent of me, my protection, my provision, you will surely die. And Adam ate, and surely there was death brought into the camp. He had made that choice, not only for himself and his wife, but for all of mankind. Separated from God, he had made the choice. We have been designed to live in God's glory. And outside of that, you and I are going to have a rough go of it. And eventually we will die. And ever since that time, and I've said this over and over again, man has been trying to survive without the glory, away from that glory. Man has become full of fears, anxieties, working hard, toiling, stressing to make it in this world. It is not a life of comfort for most people. It is a hard struggle for lots of people. But my point here is the reason that we're going through all that is because God never designed you to live there any more than a fish was designed to live on the land. He never designed you to handle fear, anxiety, stress, toilsome labor, pressure, the pressure to make it and survive in this world apart from God. Because God never created us and put it within us to do that. And you and I, we're living in a world that is becoming more and more and more under stress, under fear, under worry. The Bible tells us that we're going to come to a point where men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of what's coming on earth. I believe we're coming to that time. You only have to turn the TV on and see. I mean, if it isn't, the world is burning up in one area, it's flooding in another, and we're seeing, I mean, just everything is just really, really going backwards really quickly. And so it is the time for us to arise and shine and let God's glory shine. And you know, as we look around and we see the darkness, as the children of God, you know that we ought to be free of what's going on in the world. We know that sometimes mentally, but we're not experiencing it in our lives. We seem to be still walking in too much of the darkness and the curse. So let's go over to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to show us this morning that God's original plan for man has been restored. The fish have been thrown back in the water, so to speak. Hebrews chapter 2. Here in this chapter, we see the Apostle Paul quoting from Psalm chapter 8 again. He's bringing it out to explain that Psalm chapter 8, he's trying to give them the understanding that the fish are back in the water, like that we've come back to where we fell, and even further. And so he quotes from Psalm chapter 8 in verse 7. He says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Verse 7 in chapter 2 of Hebrews, quoting from the book of Psalms, he says, "You made man a little lower than God," or Elohim, angels. "You crowned him with glory and honor, and you set him over all the works of your hands." And then he goes on to say in verse 8, see, now Paul, the Apostle Paul, is now expanding on this, explaining to the church to the church in the book of Hebrews how God has now put all things, or first of all, he says, God had put all things in subjection under man's feet. That was where God created man and positioned him to be, where he had dominion and power and control over all things. "For that in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that was not in subjection to man." That's how God designed it from the beginning. He put all things in the power and in the dominion in the hand of the man that he had created. But then it goes on to say in this scripture, but now, right now, it's saying in the present, we see not all things under man. Do you see mankind as having power and authority and dominion over everything? No. Totally the opposite is true. Man is under situations, circumstances, the curse seems to be reigning in this life. So it says, but now we see not all things put under man. Even though that's how God created man in the first place, to be, to have dominion over all things. But we know that through the sin of Adam, man lost this dominion. He lost his position, so to speak, by rejecting God's glory, God's provision. And by rejecting it, he lost it all. So it's safe to say this morning that the glory of God is God's dominion power. The glory of God is God's dominion. It is God's power. It is God's authority, his protection, his well-being, his goodness. And that was cast aside. Now let's go back to verse 8. But now we do not see all things under the feet of man. Man lost it back in the garden. But in verse 9, it says, we see Jesus. Okay, we don't see everything put under man's feet, but we do see Jesus, who also was made a little lower than God, says, just like us, when he became a man. Why? For the suffering of death. Jesus, who is the glory of God, that surrounded us, it was fitting for him to become like us, to be, to to put on a flesh body, to become like us, a little lower than God. Why? That he might, by the grace of God, taste death for every man, woman, and child that's ever born. So he became our substitute. Okay? He became our substitute. He had to put on a flesh body so that he could die your death. He couldn't just flip a switch in heaven. He had to come down and die our death or become our substitute. For it became him, verse 10 of Hebrews 2. It became him, or it was fitting, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. In other words, it's saying it became fitting for Christ, for whom all things are created for and by whom all things were created. Jesus was the Word. The Word created all things. So it was fitting that the Word itself, which was the covering of his glory upon us, became flesh, came down from heaven, and the Bible says, dwelt among us, we beheld him, he was Jesus, in order to take our place. Why? So that he, it was fitting, verse 10, that by him, in other words, in his dying our death, in bringing many sons back, where? To glory. That was the end game of Jesus. He died, yes, the end game was to die for our sins. But why? So that he could take us back, remove us from the curse we were under, and take us back to the glory, to that place and position where we are completely covered again, where we have complete authority and dominion, and even more so. Even more so. So today, when the Bible tells us to arise and shine, we can. We have been brought back to that position. But, you know, many people today, even in the church, and then of course I'm mainly speaking to the church, because the world knows nothing about God's glory, God's provision. And if they did, they would be in the church. But I'm talking to believers today. Many believers think and believe that we can never return back to that place that God created us to live in until we pass from this life. And then we're going to go back and be in the glory again. That's how we view it. And because of that, the glory is not allowing, we're not allowing God's glory to shine. We're not allowing God to be glorified on the earth. I mean, once we're in heaven, we live in the glory. I mean, the glory is God. It's here that God wants to demonstrate his glory. It's on this earth that God wants his name to be glorified through his people. Jesus, who was our glory, who was our dominion, our protection, our supply, he came down to the earth. He took on a flesh body. He died our death to pay off our sin debt. Why? To bring us back to glory, to the place that we were designed to live in. And it's not just a place that we're going to enter in the next life. And just because you do not see the glory in the natural does not mean you don't have it. You see, I think we're looking in the flesh, looking in the natural, and thinking, whoa, I don't feel like the glory is here. I don't see the glory. But God's glory isn't something you can see in the natural. I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25. Here we see Paul that is speaking to the Colossian church, and he is confirming to them that his ministry or his commission of God, as he says in verse 25, I have been made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill God's word. Then verse 26, he says, even the mystery. So Paul is saying, I've been sent here by God, commissioned by God to reveal the mystery which God, or which has been hid from ages and ages to generations. This mystery has been hidden, but now is revealed to who? To his saints. Who are the saints? Are they the special, special people that have the high up places? No, the saints are the believing ones, are those of us who have come to trust in Jesus as our Savior. Those are the saints. So this mystery is telling us has been revealed. What does the word revealed mean? Shown, manifested to you. If you are a believer in Jesus, if you have Jesus today as your Savior, you are one of those that this mystery is revealed to. What is this mystery? He says, this mystery I have been commissioned to reveal, and God, verse 27, that God would make known what is the riches. This is the mystery. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery? Which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So back in the garden, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them, and then he blessed them, and he encircled them with glory and honor. Okay? In the new covenant, it says that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the glory is not so much surrounding us in the natural as it did Adam and Eve, but it's inside of us. And guess what's the good thing about that? We can't run fast enough to escape it. It is there forever, because where you go, the glory goes. The Bible tells us that when we were put into Christ, when we were placed into Christ, when Jesus was on the cross, and he was placed into our sin and died our death, we were placed into him. But when he arose to glory, we arose with him as one spirit. And so the glory of God is in you. It's not out there somewhere. You know, so many people have this idea that if we get together and we just praise the Lord and do all these things, you know, get really focused on God, the glory is going to come down. No, the glory doesn't come down. That's why the Bible says, arise. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I mean, it's coming from the bottom up and then down. You know, it's like the vapor it comes up from your spirit and then crowns you. In the natural, the glory is in you. God's not coming down to crown you with glory and place you back in that position. He already has. Why? Because Jesus lives in you. He is in you now, never to depart. We cannot decide like Adam and Eve and say, yeah, I reject this. If we reject him, he still remains faithful. We can reject him in a sense that we refuse to live in that glory. But once you have received it, you will never reject it. You will never walk out of it. You may not understand it or live from it. And that's what I'm talking about here today, is to live in this glory. That's what the rest is to go back to the garden and see that Adam and Eve were created to be completely dependent on this glory, on God and his word. They weren't expected to do anything. But until they decided to take matters into their own hands, everything was great. They lacked nothing. So the glory is in you, never to depart forever, because Jesus is in you, and you are one spirit in him. When he arose, we arose with him. Now tell me, is Jesus seated at the right hand of God right now in glory? Well, the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. This isn't something we're waiting for this week by and by, you know, like someday, you know, bless God, in this life we're under. In this life, you know, everything, all the curse and all the darkness might be all around us and surrounding us. But someday we're going to just like escape all from this and that. We're going to be in the glory. No, 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 no. The glory is in you now. And you have been given the ability and the authority to live in it, even in this world. So if you go back to Isaiah 60, it says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise and shine. Gross darkness is covering the people, but it will not cover you. Gross darkness. And people will come to the brightness of your rising. In other words, when they see the glory of God on our lives, because I tell you, even though the glory isn't something we can see in the natural, when it begins to rise up and God begins to demonstrate it, guess what? It's tangible. It's seeable. You can see the glory in your life. And that's what the leaders and people will come running to you because of the Lord your God in your midst. In other words, his glory is in us. So it does not come from above. It must arise from on the inside out. How does this happen? How does the glory arise in your heart? How does it arise that it can be seen, where God can be glorified in the natural, in our lives? So how does it manifest in the natural? Or another way of asking is, how, Lord, the glory's in me. How do I get it out? How do I release it? How do I let it shine that it might be known and seen and felt all around me? And this is where the rest comes in. God's glory is God's goodness, God's provision. Just like when he created Adam and Eve, he provided all things. And that glory gave him the right and the authority to dwell in God's provision. And just like back in the garden, Adam and Eve decided to not to abide in it. They're going to make it on their own. The word abide in the Bible means to rest. You know, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth, and on the sixth day he created man. But on the seventh day he rested from all his works. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. He rested from all of the works that he had done. And guess where man was at that time? He was resting with God. So man's very first day was rest. God created man to rest in his finished work, to rest in the provision God had provided. He never created you to make your own way and to live independent of him. In that rest was no work, no toil, no stress. God's not against us working. And it wasn't the curse that came in, wasn't work. People, you need to understand, it was the stress and the toil of some labor of trying to make it. It wasn't the type of work that we enjoyed. Why? Because the curse was on everything. We were pushing up against the curse all the time. If we were farmers, we'd plant our seed in the ground. I mean, if there was no variables and every seed would grow up and we'd have a huge harvest without fail, there'd be no stress or toil in that. It would be a joy to plant our seeds, right? But the curse came in, and everything is now trying to destroy. The curse is everything is passing away. And so now we're up against the curse no matter what we do. And that's where the stress comes in. And that's where God has delivered us from. It's not that we don't do anything. We just sit back and let God. No, but everything we do now, we can do with confidence that it is blessed. And the curse, there is no curse on it. And then work becomes a pleasure. Because the guarantees from God are that no evil can befall you, nor any plague come nigh your dwelling. We can live in that peace and security, knowing that we have the power and dominion over all things, all of the work of his hands. There's no stress in that. Nothing is more stressful, even in the lives of people today, and more frustrating is when you have a mountain, a huge mountain in front of you, and you have no control over it. You feel totally powerless against it. And that causes fear, anxiety, stress, worry. And we know that at the end of the day, you were not created to handle that. And that's why today, even today, modern medical doctors have seen that stress is something that kills you. And that's because we were never created to live under stress. God created us to be at rest. And when you're under stress, you are anything but at rest. You might be sitting around on the outside, but on the inside, you're in turmoil, in worry, in fear, anxiety. Your body is not at ease, and that's why it becomes dis-ease. That's where dis-ease came from. When the inside is not at ease, the body was never designed to handle that. And it begins to break down. So in Jesus, we got to see ourselves placed back into that glory, that place of provision. But that glory will not be demonstrated unless we are completely dependent on Him. It's not a little of Him and a little of me. Because Jesus Himself said, I will share my glory with no one. It's going to be all me or it's going to be all you. But you will not take a little bit of Him and expect it to work. And so the key is, like John the Baptist said, when Jesus came on the scene finally, he said, I must decrease, but He must increase. And when we finally get to the place in our own lives where we see that we can't do this, we recognize, can't live this life. I can't do it the way I would want it done. It's impossible. And you finally give up. You know, to arise and shine in His glory is to actually give up your own glory. It's like, you know what, Lord? I lay down. I can't do it. I can do nothing without You. Nothing. Not a thing. And when you get to that place, you're actually laying down your life to pick up His. And when you pick up His, that's where the glory is. You know, you might think you're giving something up. You're giving nothing up. But you're receiving or obtaining all things. And so, even in our own lives, we have to say, Lord, less of me, more of You. Less of me. Less of me trying to do something. And just give it to You. I can do nothing. In Christ, we truly are placed back into the glory. We're placed back into the rest. He is the rest. He is the rest. Don't walk around thinking that you need to get into the rest. You need to get into the rest. You're already in the rest. If Christ is in you, you are in the rest. He is in you and you are in Him. Remain there. That's why in the book of John, Jesus says, if any man abide in Me, just live there, dwell there. That's your dwelling place. The sad thing is, we're in the rest, but we're not resting. We're not resting. We're still trying too much in our own efforts to gain. So when we think of being in the rest, it's just a place where we are completely, absolutely, always dependent on Him for all things. And we can have the assurance that all things will be provided when we rest, because His Word says so. It's His Word. Jesus is the Word. And when the Word is in your heart, that assurance, that is the rest. That is the glory. And so we can rest. And even when we're tempted to get out of the rest because it looks like the curse is actively coming at us, all we have to do is remind ourselves of the Word. To hold up the Word of God, because we're hidden in Christ. And nothing can come against God's Word. Because God's Word is the truth. And if Adam and Eve had believed God's Word, none of this would have happened. So we need to trust and be sure of God's Word and remain in it. Live from that position. And I believe the glory, God's glory, will begin to arise in your life like never before as you just rest. As you just rest. You know, I don't think we realize the consecration, the set apartness, and Jesus himself. If we did, we would never ever try to do anything with the finger. Because it's only in Christ that we've been delivered from everything and set back into that glory. And anything we try to add to it is defiling what Jesus did. His work was a perfect work. Perfect. And when he shouted, "It is finished," you need to know it is finished. And there is nothing that we could even think of trying to add to that word. And you know, mankind has tried to add to God's word. We do it in our own lives. And if we're adding anything to it, you've polluted it, the Bible says. Leviticus chapter 10, I believe, verse 1, 2, and 3. The first time the word glorified is used in the Bible is God has said, "I will be glorified in my people." But it also uses the word pollute. Do not pollute what Jesus has done. Because as soon as you bring just a little bit of yourself into it, the glory cannot shine. It's going to be all Jesus or nothing. He's going to do it all and get all the glory, or there will be no glory. You have to understand that. And for too long, we try to add things to the world. We need to get back to the garden. We realize that there was nothing Adam could have done to anything. I mean, he was created by God. He had no say in anything. But you know, immediately after, when Eve was tempted in the garden, the devil came along and said, "Surely God has not said that you will die if you eat of this root." Eve looks at him and responds and says, "God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, nor touch it." You know, God never said anything about it. You can see already mankind embellishing and adding to the word of God. He never said, "Don't touch it." He said, "Don't eat it." And yet Eve said, "This is what God said. Don't eat or touch." And you know, as the years go by, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Until we have what we have today, where we're told so many things that, you know, the truth is in there somewhere, but we need to cut away all of the things that God has not said. And we need to just stand on God's word, which is the truth. The only truth. Amen. Don't add to the truth. Don't take away from it. Because that is Christ himself. And as we rest in that word, we will see God's glory will arise, and it will protect us. It'll fight off all of our enemies. It'll keep us from sickness and disease. It'll provide for us when we don't seemingly have enough in the natural, whether it's money, food, clothing, the glory. We were created to live in God's glory. Amen. So we're going to go back to it. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word.